Hello and welcome to this episode of FinTech Focus TV, brought to you by Harrington Star, global leaders in financial technology recruitment. Head over to the Harrington Star website today, where you'll be able to download our brand new documentary, The Era of Convergence, which charts the merger of traditional and decentralized finance. You'll also be able to see our new magazine, The Financial Technologist, with the Top 1% Workplace Awards. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you soon. Hello and welcome to another episode of FinTech Focus TV with me, Toby Bav. We are again live from FinTech Connect over here at the Excel Centre, and it is an absolute pleasure to introduce you to Claire from One Step Financial.
Hi there.
Claire, hello. Lovely to have you. Thanks for coming on and joining us today. Loads of stuff to it. You're in one of the most interesting spaces, I think, at one of the most interesting times in this marketplace right now. So lots and lots to get involved in today's conversation. But before we fly into it all, will you tell us a little bit about the company?
So my name's Claire Comby. I'm co-founder of One Step Financial. I'm also Chief Risk Officer. And essentially, One Step Financial designs bespoke payment solutions based on DLT. So we see ourselves as being quite unique because we offer DLT cash, essentially. And the background is that One Step, we were kind of carving out a payment business from our parent company, Billon Group. So Billon Group, based in Poland, designed their own DLT architecture. An element of that has been around the payments business. However, we've now seen a real opportunity to carve out that payments business and to really create a standalone payments business and to try and go out there and seize all the opportunities that exist.
And they're definitely doing that space.
Yeah, they completely exist. I mean, I've also got a very active and leading role in the Digital Pound Foundation, so I'm really at the crux of what is happening in this space, whether it be CBDCs or other new forms of digital money. The efficiencies and opportunities that can be achieved through using DLT for payments are just immense. And even just reflecting back on what One Step Financial can offer, these bespoke payment platforms, we really want to focus on those clunky, complex corporate payments. So things like incentives, rewards, refunds, that generally can be quite problematic operationally, can be very expensive, lots of time spent on exception handling. I mean, for example, one of our pilot clients in Poland is realising 25% savings just through using our platform alone.
Wow.
And the opportunities that can be created through aligning data and money mean that actually a transaction is more than just a payment. So you're collecting accurate data at the outset and you're producing accurate data at the end. So what this means to corporate payments, particularly those payments that are really clunky, capable, operationally burdensome, is that not only can we simplify and streamline the payment process, but by aligning data with that money, with those payments, our corporate clients can enhance engagement opportunities. So they are seeing who the payments are being made to. We can apply task triggers. And the whole essence of programmability really makes this more than just a payment. You know, this is an end-to-end transaction. So not only are we saving our clients money, but they're getting a lot more out of it as well. And when we look at some of the conversations that we're having in the migrant and contingent worker space, where for employment agencies, it's really important that they retain their workers. They want to keep that quality pool of workers so that they can meet their own clients' needs by enabling the payments to really actually be more than just that physical amount of money being traced, but to actually track productivity and things like that. All of a sudden, there's a lot more value that we can bring by using our payment platform.
I think that's the exciting piece, isn't it? Just the rather than just transacting, it's the insight and the readability. I think the e-commerce world has used this really well. Streets ahead of the game. The financial markets have been lagging for some time. So this is a great opportunity.
Hugely. I mean, we see loads of opportunity, and even through the work of the Digital Pound Foundation, where, to me, it feels like, the last 12 months or so, the focus really has been around kind of issues such as privacy, security, interoperability, and things like that. But, I think now it's time to really start to explore the real use cases. Mm-hmm. And actually, by using potentially more sophisticated technology, things that, let's be honest, have made cryptocurrencies quite interesting. By using that same technology, but in a lower risk environment, all of a sudden now, mainstream financial services can benefit from the additional data, from programmability. And again, for the Digital Pound Foundation, we could raise awareness of what those use cases are. Now, what difference is that going to make to people's lives? Because for a well-designed digital pound to be successful, people are going to have to realise the benefit. and that extends beyond financial circles, but the idea, but to the actual user, you know, why is your average human being going to be interested in using a CBDC, for example? They've got to be added benefits. And that's where the exciting opportunities lie, is that the opportunity to really enhance payments, facilities, data gathering, and all those things, and programmability, all of a sudden makes payments really exciting and makes the use cases even more compelling for those people that want to start advocating for the use of a CBDC or other means of digital money.
And that potential is enormous. And you work closely with the Digital Pound Foundation.
We do. So my role is I'm the operational and governance lead for the Digital Pound Foundation. So really in the heart of the setting of the strategy from DPF, also working very closely to establish partnerships with other industry associations. For example, we held an event in September to discuss the privacy considerations around what a well-designed digital pound looked like. Mm-hmm. We had observers from the Bank of England, the FCA, HMT, because it's such an interesting debate. It's a really relevant debate. And again, no CBDC or other new form of digital money is going to be successful within kind of the general public use unless all of these issues are addressed.
Yeah.
So that the two go hand in hand really closely. I work very closely with the DPF, and all I see is opportunity for One Step Financial. So the challenge is, of course, getting us from this startup position effectively to a fully-fledged business that really can realise those opportunities.
Let's talk about that. It's one of my great passions at startups. I love seeing the companies sort of grow and thrive. The small acorns seeing mighty oaks grow. This is really new for you guys. I want to just... You mentioned a word earlier on saying this is a unique thing you're bringing to marketplace. And I'm always interested for two reasons. Number one is where it's great, because you found something there that changes the world. And number two is where people are doing things that are unique and they're potentially misread somewhere saying this is something that you need. But actually, people don't really have the appetite to do that. It sounds like you're in the former, like in the latter category. Tell me why no one's done it before. And tell me about how that creates a great opportunity for you guys as first mover advantage in space.
Yeah, we see ourselves as being really well positioned because what we have is the established DLT architecture that is proven to work. Philon Group has been in existence for almost 10 years now. So we know that the architecture has had a lot of time and money spent on getting it just right. So we have the tech and we're very confident in our technology. But we also have two e-money licences. So we have a UK e-money licence and we have an e-money licence in Poland, giving us access to the EU. So we feel that we have this combination of a robust architecture aligned with two licences. So we have the digital capabilities as well. So that is a really strong selling point, actually, from the outset. This is what we come with, and that's before we've even just begun. Then, when we started to really focus on, where there were gaps in the market and where we could make a difference, the opportunities within kind of the corporate incentive space and really understanding, actually, just how exclusive it is for corporates to offer those incentives, reward schemes, to make insurance refunds, for example. There is a huge opportunity to save money, and not only to save money, but then, of course, to realise additional benefits through programmability and things, as we've discussed. And in terms of us being kind of in the right place at the right time, I think it's just around, education. It's education of our prospect clients in terms of this is what we can achieve and realise by, not using your traditional payment methods, for example, and using new technologies to facilitate your payments. That can make a real difference to your business. And we're not just talking about efficiencies and your staff, workers, etc., being happier with how they're being paid, but also internally and operationally, the savings that can be realised because the processes are so much more efficient.
This to me is always the golden ticket to startups. Are you saving money? You create an efficiency as you're removing friction from the process.
Yeah.
And every company I see that's really thriving is really, really focused very hard on it. That's hilarious. I think it's a brilliant business we're actually getting into. So as you go through there, you've been in the reins mode, getting the funding side of things. An interesting time to be raising money at various different stages. As I've said before on the show, I actually think it's quite a good time as well because good companies will attract good money.
Yeah.
And I think there's an appetite and a lot of institutional cash out there as well as people who are looking to invest in the right sort of thing. So it means that there's greater due diligence which means in my mind there's more responsible investment. So the companies there that are being invested into have got the story yet to take them forward. I don't think people are putting false money behind it.
No.
I think people are investing in the right sort of price of businesses, which is realistically where things should be for sort of anything. So I'm more excited by companies that are raising. That's been going quite well for them so far.
That's been going really well.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. We just find there's just such a huge appetite for interest in wanting to find out more about what we can do. And like I mentioned earlier on, the fact we have the technology and the e-money licences really puts us in a fantastic position. And as a startup organisation, you know, really are keen to work with our clients to design bespoke payment solutions. So that's attractive.
Yeah.
It means that actually the opportunities are vast because we can be flexible.
Yeah.
And I think as well, because there is so much talk about CBDCs and other new forms of digital money, they're becoming more and more aware that maybe it is time for change. You know, this legacy payment infrastructure that we have, there are opportunities now actually to do something different.
Yeah.
And I think cryptocurrencies have shown that there is that appetite for doing things differently, that there are benefits of using blockchain technology for things like financial inclusion that people are becoming more and more aware of. The fact that we can offer the same opportunities that cryptocurrencies have offered to their users by using the same technology but on a lower risk scale, all of a sudden makes it more appealing to a much broader audience, and actually the risk element is reduced on that side. Now, clearly from an investment perspective, it's about the business that we have and what we can do with that. But our biggest challenge is we see so many opportunities. It's how we actually sensibly move forward for those opportunities, do them properly as we go along. Yeah, exactly. And not kind of overly burdening ourselves or trying to do too much at once.
So how are you managing that? I mean, I imagine there's a good background as a chief risk officer to be able to make those sort of calls. But I think there is a huge temptation as a startup to be looking at every shiny opportunity. Mm-hmm. And actually the power of the right thing is to string right and say no, rather than saying yes.
Yep.
So tell me about how when you're going to market and saying this is the opportunity and you've got so many things out there, how you're managing to articulate that vision.
Yeah, first and foremost, because we are offering regulated e-money services, we have to be fully compliant. And actually, although I'm co-founder of a business, I'm chief risk officer, so we have to get that right. And I'm not prepared to compromise on that at all. Because any investors that want to invest in our business have to know with confidence that we are compliant. You know, we're selling ourselves as offering regulated digital cash solutions, so that has to come first. But actually, in terms of our story, of course, the risk element will go throughout no matter what. We see it as almost like in various chapters, so we are telling a story. And we're starting in terms of the capabilities to streamline complex payments. That's it. Okay, streamline, by using our technology, we can streamline payments. Add in the data, then we have engagements. And then we have retention, then we have task triggers. And then beyond that, the recipients of the payments, we can then offer e-wallets. And then beyond that, we see an ecosystem where actually, potentially, we can offer even wider financial services. But it has to be a step at a time. And so we have to get the payments right, we have to get the alignment of data right. We have to have successful use cases and pilots so we can demonstrate this is how it works. And then we can build upon that. But we will do it carefully. We'll do it carefully. We'll do it sensibly, realising opportunities, but without rushing too far ahead, so that we start,
I mean this in no patronising way whatsoever, but I think it's such a great perspective on how to go about doing this. We're talking, it seems really obvious, doesn't it, what we're talking about? But it's not too often when you hear a startup talking about carefully and respectfully and responsibly and all those things. It's usually just crazy excitement. Go in there and we'll build the claims we're finding. It seems really structured what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, all I see is opportunity. And
it's the management of that, isn't it?
But yeah, and I'm always saying, could you please look at this? No, why aren't we finding out more about this? Because there are so many opportunities and I do have to hold myself back a bit.
Yeah.
But that's where I think the balance works really well, that I'm also chief risk officer, because I know it's important to be cautious, to be sensible, to make sure that we continue to be compliant. If we don't, then obviously we can't offer our services.
I love the idea of, I'm fascinated by looking at entrepreneurial backgrounds of founders within this space. So I'm seeing a lot of people from a product background, there's a lot of people from a tech background, where I think sometimes it's a struggle to articulate that story and take it to marketplace. Sometimes it's a sales background, which uses a lot of the detail. But I think it's a really, really fascinating background from it. I could be talking about this for a long time, because it's a favourite subject of mine. But finish up by telling us about what's exciting for you next year. So you're seeing all this opportunity, you're going through the raise. Tell me what's exciting for next year, who you want to be talking to at the moment, and get in touch with them.
As we move into next year, we really want to focus on building out a team, you know, a really strong team of talent that loves opportunity as much as we do. Also respecting, of course, the regulatory framework, as we've just discussed. So we want a really great team that can help us to really start to realise and explore these opportunities. That's going to be the most important thing. We also want to work with some initial corporates who are really interested in realising efficiencies around their reward loyalty schemes. Please do reach out to us. If you're interested in exploring further the savings that we can make for you and the efficiencies that you can realise through using our platform, you can contact me on LinkedIn, Claire Combi, or we have a website, One Step Financial. Reach out to us on whether it be kind of from an investment perspective, perhaps, or from a potential corporate client and invite to see what we can do for them, then reach out.
Absolutely fantastic. Look, Claire, it sounds really, really exciting. An exciting year ahead.
Yep.
Loads and loads of good things for you to capture. And keep up the great work, and we wish you the very best of luck. Thanks for coming and chatting.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you all for watching. We'll see you soon on our episode of FinTech Focus TV.